We begin this message with a warning that the information contained herein will only be fully understood by those whose eyes have been opened to the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and who therefore hold the scriptures of the Holy Bible to be the inspired and infallible Word of God. To those who do not believe as stated, we would exhort you to first repent of your rebellion against God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation, and if not, to put your house in order, because God's Word, the Bible, says in Revelation chapter 18, verse 1, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Verse 8, Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. Verse 15, The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Verse 17, For in one hour so great riches is come to naught. The primary purpose for this message is to sound a warning to Christians living in America and elsewhere that the typical American Christian's view of America itself must change. That contrary to the popular Christian eschatology of the past century, America is indeed mentioned in Bible prophecy. That in fact what was once called the land of the free and the home of the brave, what was once called America the beautiful, has become America the Babylon, and is in fact the last days Babylon described right here in Revelation chapter 18, also referred to in Jeremiah chapter 50 as the daughter of Babylon. Our purpose is also both to propose and to prove that as such, as the daughter of Babylon, America is in fact the daughter or the creation of the true mother that gave her birth, which is not Britain as many believe. Her true mother, the entity that truly gave rise to her conception, and from whom she still takes marching orders, is seen in Revelation 17 as Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, which is without doubt the Roman Catholic papacy. While on the surface the American War for Independence appears to have been a just war in defense against the tyranny of Great Britain, that very tyranny was in fact instigated by other evil forces working behind the scenes to foment animosity and bring about the conflict, and thereby to execute a secret agenda to create a nation that would one day usher in the devil's new world order. The influences that guided and funded that secret agenda was not just the Illuminati or the lodges of Freemasonry that Franklin, Washington, and other American founders were involved in, but was in fact the unseen hand that guides those front organizations and that still controls Washington, D.C. to this day, that being the military arm of the Roman papacy, the infamous and nefarious Jesuit order, headquartered at the Vatican in Rome. As we read through the Old Testament prophecy of Jeremiah, we see both the prophetic revelation that God gave to Jeremiah of Jerusalem and Judah's impending destruction and captivity. But we also see the historical record of how that nation rejected Jeremiah's message and warnings of that doom. In the same way, today, most of God's people, like ancient Israel, refuse to acknowledge that America could be the last days Babylon, or that God would bring such a judgment on this land as is described in Revelation 18. But we are convinced that honest Bible believers, who look at the biblical evidence in light of current world political and economic conditions must conclude that truly America is and must be the final last days Babylon of Revelation 18. While some of the men who founded this nation were indeed Christian, there was without doubt a secret Masonic agenda guided from behind the scenes by Rome, hidden in the founding of this nation and memorialized in the Great Seal of the United States, for America to one day be the catalyst to usher in global government. It has been very well documented that many of the nation's founders were Freemasons, and that some, including Franklin, Jefferson, and John Adams, were overtly anti-Christian deists who hated the gospel. Though George Washington frequently attended an Episcopal church with his wife, he never once made a public profession of faith in Christ. Washington's avowed religion was that of Freemasonry, not Christianity. While there is good cause to question if America ever truly was a Christian nation, as it was declared to be even by the U.S. Supreme Court in more than one decision, it is undeniable that America has until recent times been dominated by a population and a culture that at least professed to be Christian, with the Bible even being read in its public schools up until the 1960s. That said, while most of what comes out of Barack Hussein Obama's mouth are lies, including and especially his own claim to be a Christian, one statement that he's made repeatedly is true. Whatever America once was, it is no longer a Christian nation. We believe that's because the America that once was has fallen and has become the daughter of Babylon, the final prophetic Babylon described in Revelation 18 and Jeremiah 50-51. One reason American Christians have failed to see this has been the popular position of 20th century prophecy scholars that America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy, that America will simply fade from the world scene, lose its power, and then the Antichrist kingdom will arise in Europe as a revived Roman Empire. However, as once pointed out by Dr. S. Frank Loxton, former senior pastor at Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, he said it is unthinkable that God, who knows the end from the beginning, would pinpoint such small nations as Libya, Egypt, Ethiopia, and Syria in the prophetic declaration and completely overlook the wealthiest and most powerful nation on the earth. Too long have we evaded the question. Too long have we summarily grouped our country with the so-called revived Roman Empire. Too long, he said, have we persisted in terming the USA in prophecy as one of the lion's cubs, thus giving her but an inferential mention in the shadow of a diminishing Britain. Dr. Loxton was right. For too long have American Christians evaded the truth that America is not only mentioned in Bible prophecy, but that it actually holds a very prominent place in ushering in the New World Order of the Antichrist and dominating the nations of the earth through economic and military imperialism, and exporting its degradation and filth to the nations of the earth, and in earning in full measure the divine judgment prophesied against her in Revelation chapter 18. We first offer four general proofs or evidences that America is the final prophetic Babylon of Revelation 18. And the first evidence we would point to is that the last days are here. Bible prophecy is set to be fulfilled, and America is the only global economic, military, and technological superpower that can fulfill the prophecy of Babylon in Revelation 18. There are several signs indicating that we are indeed in the last days of human history before the prophesied return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some Christians choose to ignore or to deny this fact that is blatantly obvious to others, perhaps because they just don't want to see it. Some of these blinded Christians cling to another deception, that being the view that most Bible prophecy was fulfilled in the first century AD with the destruction of Jerusalem by Rome. We refute this very blinding deception called preterism in a separate audio message found on our website titled The Relevance of the Revelation. But to others who are correctly still expecting future fulfillment of the Bible's predictive prophecies, we would point to several factors that do indeed show that we are now in the last days before our Lord's return, including number one, the international effort to create a global governance system, which, by the way, is centered at the UN headquarters in New York City. Number two, the return of national Israel to the world stage after a 1900-year absence via the UN's creation of the State of Israel in 1948 and the Jews returning to the land. Number three, technology that enables prophetic fulfillment, especially the internationally connected electronic banking system, facial recognition surveillance system, and the global database enabling literal fulfillment to the literal mark of the beast, and the ability of Big Brother to now monitor every financial and commercial transaction on the planet. And also number four, technology that demands divine judgment and intervention. Technology wherein man is trying to play God, including biological engineering and cloning, HARP technology and geoengineering to control and weaponize weather patterns and even earthquakes, and the CERN Hadron Collider, which some see as a doomsday machine, among other nefarious top secret technologies, all of which collectively cries out for the intervention of Almighty God to destroy them that destroy the earth, as is foretold in Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. So for these and other reasons that could be mentioned, we believe we do have very good reason to conclude that we are indeed in the last days of human history before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the hour is late, the players are all on the stage, and the last days are here. And therefore, the only world power that can fulfill the Revelation 18 prophecy of Babylon at this time, or that will be remotely able to do so anytime soon, is America. America is the only merchant nation that has supplied products and merchandise to the entire world, as described so clearly in Revelation 18. No other nation has done so. Despite China's economic growth in recent years, with a GDP that has now surpassed Japan's and is twice that of fourth place Germany, America's economic output is still twice that of China's, and that with a much smaller population than China. China's huge problem in becoming a world power is that it still has 1.5 billion mouths to feed. On a per capita basis, America's economic output dwarfs that of second place China. America is that merchant nation of Revelation 18 that the merchants of the earth love trading with, who are made rich by her, and who will weep and wail one day when they stand afar off and see the smoke of her burning, when her great riches have come to naught in 1 hour, as we read in Revelation 18. It is undeniable that the last day's international currency and accepted medium of exchange has been and still remains the almighty American dollar, upon which is transcribed the motto of the New World Order, Novus Ordo Seclorum, and upon which is displayed the Masonic symbology of the Luciferian agenda to create the global government that is also seen in Revelation 13. Many today are predicting the imminent collapse of the dollar, but in our view, because the circulation base of the dollar is at least 10 times larger than any competing currency, the Chinese yuan and Russian ruble included, the dollar will continue to be the world reserve currency for the next several years, until the time of the mark of the beast of Revelation 13 is fully implemented. But not only is Babylon to be a merchant nation, as America now is, we also know from the books of Daniel and Revelation that the prophesied man of sin, the Antichrist, will be a man of war, and will have a war machine that no other nation on earth will be able to confront or defeat. While Russia and China do pose real threats, and apparently intend to wage war on America in the not-too-distant future, America remains the supreme global military power that can dictate to and control the kings of the earth, or remove them at will if they get out of line.
Our destination, Baghdad.
Saddam Hussein has got weapons of
mass destruction. As was done to Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi. China is trying to build up her military machine, but again, China has too many mouths to feed. Because of her per capita economic power, America's military spending is still five times that of number two China. We do see in Revelation 8 and 16 that China has a part to play in last day's events, but China cannot be the Babylon of Revelation 18. Nor can Russia, Iran, Iraq, or the ancient city of Babylon, as some have said, as we'll see in a moment in Jeremiah chapter 50. The second evidence that America is the final Babylon of Revelation 18, and this is extremely critical in identifying the last days Babylon, is that we're told in Jeremiah 50 verse 12 that this Babylon, the Babylon being addressed in this chapter, and continuing into chapter 51, which is the same Babylon referred to in Revelation 18, must be not only a nation, but a new nation, a last days or a latter times nation referred to as the daughter of Babylon. And America is the only new nation that can fulfill the prophecy of the last days Babylon. First, there are three evidences showing that the Babylon of Jeremiah 50 to 51 is the same Babylon spoken of in Revelation 18. Number one is that both passages say all the nations have drunken of Babylon's wine, the wine of her false religion. In Jeremiah 51, verse 7, the prophet wrote, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. And a clear reference back to that verse. John writes in Revelation 18, verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Number two, in both passages, God tells his people, still living in Babylon, to come out of her, to avoid sharing in her judgment. In Jeremiah 51, verse 45, God says, "My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord." In another clear reference, back to the prophet Jeremiah, John writes in Revelation 18, verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." The third evidence that Jeremiah 50-51 and Revelation 18 refer to the same Babylon is that in both passages we see similar depictions of a complete and final destruction and judgment of the Babylon in view that never took place against or in ancient Babylon. Therefore, Jeremiah 50-51 cannot be referring to ancient Babylon. In this passage, we see very similar language to what we read in Revelation 18, of a complete and final destructive judgment upon Babylon from which it never recovers. But while the prophet Jeremiah had much to say in his writings against ancient Babylon, and while there are allusions in this passage to ancient Babylon and to Nebuchadnezzar, the judgment described in this passage is not a judgment that was ever poured out on ancient Babylon. Look in verse 13. "Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate." Verse 15. "Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down." Verse 26. "Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly." Verse 40, "As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein." These two chapters in Jeremiah, along with their parallel passage in Revelation 18, describe a total destruction that never happened in ancient Babylon and has never yet been fulfilled. We read in Daniel 5 that the Medo-Persian Empire conquered ancient Babylon in one night after Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, drank himself drunk using the golden vessels taken from the temple in Jerusalem. That night, Babylon was taken by the Medes and Persians with no battle, without a shot being fired, and with no damage whatsoever done to that city. Almost the exact opposite of what Jeremiah 50 and 51 describe. After the Persian conquest, the city of Babylon remained populated and even became Alexander the Great's capital for a time. At the time of Jesus, there were still more Jews living in Babylon than there were in Judea. Historically, ancient Babylon remained a significant city until about 400 AD, when it began to dwindle down into what became a small village that finally disappeared in about 1400 AD, and then the desert sands covered up the city until the 1800s. But the point is that Jeremiah 50-51 has never been fulfilled. Jeremiah is not referring in these two chapters to ancient Babylon. This is another Babylon. This is, in fact, the last days Babylon. So Jeremiah 50 and Revelation 18 describe the same Babylon referred to in Jeremiah 50, verse 42, and 51, 33, as the daughter of Babylon, and also referred to in Jeremiah 50, verse 12, as a new nation. So therefore, having established with relative certainty that we see the same Babylon in Revelation 18 and Jeremiah 50-51, now look back at Jeremiah 50, verse 12. "Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert." This is an extremely significant and key verse in identifying the final Babylon, the Babylon that's in view in this passage and therefore also in Revelation 18. First, notice here that the Babylon in view is not just a city, but is also a nation. Jeremiah refers here to the hindermost of the nations, not the hindermost of the cities. So the Babylon in view is not just a city, but is also a nation. And by the way, while I'm on this point, you better mark this down. To the extent that the people of this nation, America, support the wicked policies of Washington, D.C., and its shedding of innocent blood, the slaughtering of unborn lives in this land, same-sex sodomite marriage, and Washington's imperial conquest of Iraq and Afghanistan and the other nations of the earth. To that extent, this entire nation will be judged and will earn in full measure the judgment prophesied against her. Not only is this a nation in view and not just a city, but also notice that it is the hindermost of the nations, meaning the last nation to come up among the other nations of the earth. Jeremiah 50, verse 12. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. That word hindermost, it's the Hebrew word akarith. Strong's definition says it means the last or end, also posterity. That word occurs 61 times in the Old Testament, always referring to last or end chronologically. Three times the word is translated last in the phrase last days. 11 times it's translated latter in the phrase latter days, as in Daniel 2, verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. That word latter there is that Hebrew word akarith. Too many times to count, this word is translated end, or last end, or latter end, as in Proverbs 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou may be wise in thy latter end. The word is also translated remnant, residue, and posterity in the Old Testament, meaning latter generations or descendants. As in Psalm 109, verse 13, let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. This Babylon in Jeremiah 50 to 51 cannot be ancient Babylon, because this Babylon is the hindermost of the nations, the last of the nations to come up. It is a last days Babylon, a new nation. Ancient Babylon is therefore ruled out as being the subject of this passage. By the way, that also rules out all other present-day world powers, including Russia and especially China, one of the oldest civilizations on this earth. Russia and China do have a part to play in last days events.
After Russian President Vladimir Putin signed a gas deal with China reportedly worth $400 billion.
We see the involvement of the kings of the East in Revelation 8 and 16 at the sixth trump and the sixth vial judgment. We also see in Daniel chapter 11 the Antichrist who goes to war with his armies against those kings and crushes them just before he invades the Holy Land and is himself crushed. In Daniel 11, verse 44, the Bible says, but tidings out of the east and out of the north, by the way, referring to a China-Russian alliance, shall trouble him, the Antichrist. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly make away many. Verse 45, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. We see the stage being set right now for that exact scenario to develop, as Russia and China are joining forces to try to confront the American empire. Back to Jeremiah 50 to 51. The Babylon in view here, and therefore also in Revelation 18, is the last of the nations, a new nation, and a last days empire. America is the hindermost of the world empires. And by the way, it is also the posterity of the nations, as that word is also translated. The descendants are the last generations of the nations, a new nation that sprang up from the posterity of those nations that preceded it. America is the global melting pot of the world, in itself a microcosm of the New World Order, composed of the last generations of immigrants from the world over. To summarize then, the Babylon in view in Jeremiah 50 to 51, and therefore Revelation 18, is a new nation, the posterity of the nations. And America is the only new nation that can be called a world power, which is in fact the most powerful of nations in these last days, upon whose currency the entire world economy does its trade and commerce. The Bible says the final Babylon will be the hindermost of the nations, and America is the only nation on earth of any significance that qualifies. Third evidence that America is the final Babylon in Revelation 18 is that the international movement and drive to create a global government is clearly being led, spearheaded, and funded by America. This is a well-known fact that doesn't need much proof on our part. Since the close of World War II in 1945, the nations of the world have agreed to send their delegates to America, to New York City in particular, the world's undisputed center of commerce and trade, to to what is also the center and seat of what functions today as the only world body assembled for the purpose of global governance, the United Nations General Assembly. While America is only one of 193 nations that have agreed to become UN member states, she provides not only the real estate, but also the majority of the funding that allows the UN to function. Officially, the USA funds 22% of the UN's regular budget and 27% of its peacekeeping budget. But according to a recent Heritage Foundation report, through assessed and other contributions to various UN programs, those numbers more than triple. As one of five permanent UN Security Council members, America also wields control over UN resolutions through its veto power. America is at the center of world government and is not going to fade from the world scene as was once believed, so the Antichrist Empire can come out of Europe. A fourth evidence that America is the final Babylon of Revelation 18 is the abundant evidence of Rome's direction in the building of Washington, D.C., and the associated fact that America's institutions and national symbols are intentionally patterned after Egyptian and Roman deities that derive and descend from the Babylonian mystery religion. Zechariah chapter 5 describes a woman called Wickedness that is lifted up between heaven and earth in a basket called an ephah that goeth forth. In verse 9, Zechariah says, "Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. And then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, To build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base." Many Old Testament scholars believe Zechariah here describes the spirit of ancient Babylon, Wickedness, which was the goddess Ishtar, worshipped as the queen of heaven, being carried away from her ancient location to a new location beyond the Nile River and the Great Sea. At the time of Christ, rabbinic scholars taught that the spirit of Babylon rested at Rome, which certainly became the new capital of the Babylonian mystery religion, and remains so to this day. The headquarters and seat of mystery Babylon the Great, the harlot church that infused the worship of the virgin goddess into her rituals. But then that spirit of wickedness, the goddess Ishtar, continued moving westward as the harlot that sitteth upon many waters established another capital, a political capital. And that spirit of the goddess Ishtar clearly found another base of operations in Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, another of the virgin goddess Ishtar's many names. The influence of Rome and its ancient mystery religion is undeniable in the history, town plan, and architecture of Washington, D.C. The land on which the U.S. Capitol building now sits once belonged to a man named Daniel Carroll, a Jesuit-trained Roman Catholic who signed the U.S. Constitution as a congressman from Maryland. According to an article on Carroll from the 1902 edition of the Catholic Encyclopedia, property records dating from 1663 show that the land now called the District of Columbia once bore the name of Rome, and the branch of the Potomac River south of the town was called the Tiber. As for Washington's architecture, the portico entrance to the U.S. Capitol building itself is guarded by an idol to the Roman god of war named Mars, known in ancient Babylon as Merodach or Baal. The dome of the Capitol, modeled directly after the Vatican's headquarters, St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, is topped by an idol to that Babylonian goddess Ishtar, Queen of Heaven, sculpted in Rome, bearing a sheathed sword, a laurel wreath and a shield, and adorned with a crown of 12 stars around a military helmet, officially titled for the Capitol Project, the Statue of Freedom. This same lady appears inside the Capitol, where the Eye of the Dome Rotunda's 180-foot-high ceiling is decorated by a fresco painting, titled The Apotheosis of Washington, meaning, by the way, the glorification of Washington as a god. Finished in 1865 by a Vatican painter trained in Rome named Constantino Brumidi. The fresco depicts George Washington ascending into heaven and surrounded not by Bible characters, but by a literal pantheon of Roman deities, including Ceres, Mercury, Minerva, Vulcan, and Neptune, with another representation of Lady Freedom, also known as Ishtar, or Columbia, shown with drawn sword in hand, trampling down earthly kings and tyrants. And then also the town plan and street layout of Washington, D.C., are laid out in a geometry that blatantly depicts Luciferian and Masonic symbology, with the White House at the precise point of the apex of an inverted pentagram, symbolizing the intention of that city's Masonic designers, that the mind of the man that occupies that residence should be ruled by the God of the Lodge, whom Albert Pike tells us in no uncertain terms is Lucifer himself. The White House also centers on the intersection of two triangles forming a six-pointed hexagram, and also centers precisely on a cross of the Knights of Malta. More Masonic symbology is seen in the Masonic compass and square formed by the lines between the Capitol building and the White House and Jefferson monuments, as defined by Pennsylvania and Maryland avenues. The intersecting Mason square is formed by Louisiana and Washington avenues, radiating from Union Square. Notably, to the east of the Capitol building is another hexagram, a six-pointed star, claiming to be the most powerful of Luciferian symbols, which, by the way, was Solomon's star of his idol to Molech, and was never the Star of David. Notice how this eastern star, as it were, emanates from the very center of the Capitol dome, from that statue of the Virgin atop the dome, Ishtar, the Queen of Heaven, Goddess of Babylon, and also, by the way, of the Roman Catholic Church, and Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, these things did not happen by accident or coincidence. This city of Washington, D.C. was planned from its inception to be the future capital of the New World Order, to be ruled eventually by that man of sin and son of perdition referred to as the Antichrist.
Turn from your idols to God.